Thank you very much, Mr. Carey. Good afternoon, everyone. I thought I would share with you something of insight this afternoon at our luncheon between services. What a fine lunch that they serve here at the atrium. You might have seen at the beginning of the food bar as you walked in, pile of fruit. Large pile of fruit. There's a little sign in front of the fruit. You might have noticed it. It said, "Take only one. God is watching." Did you see that? Well, I overheard one of the little children at the far end of the buffet line where the cheesecake was. He whispered to the little friend next to him and said, "Take all you want. God's watching the fruit." You know how they say there's always, as we read this morning, always room for dessert. We're all looking forward to one more sermon this afternoon. I know the man and his humility, and we're looking forward to hearing what God has prepared to deliver through him. So we'll look forward to that. Before we close, though, the home office gives this last opportunity, this sermonette time, for the coordinator to pass on various thanks to everyone involved who has been key and important in organizing the feast and serving many, many hours. I'd like to turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4, because I'd like to examine this scripture with you for just a moment, because I think, at least in my opinion, we've seen a wonderful example of this very thing taking place. You're familiar with this section of Scripture, no doubt, and we had it commented on fairly thoroughly in the video presentation earlier in the week. But I'd like to turn to it because it has been, in my opinion, a real theme of this feast, not necessarily in the messages, but in the feast actually taking place. Everything happening on time, as it's scheduled, to a degree of detail and, I hope, perfection that has certainly been representative of God's way of life and certainly representative of the millennium. It says in verse 11 of Ephesians 4, "He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers." Purpose of those responsibilities is verse 12, "for the perfecting of the saints." The word perfecting means to make fit, to make fully prepared. So we hope that while this feast may have been an excellent physical experience for all of us, the real purpose of God bringing us together here is to make us fit, make us prepared. For what? For the work of service, for the work of the ministry, as it mentions here. Simply means the work of service. God is calling us, as we've heard so well said this past week, God is preparing us for service, not only today, but in the body of Christ in the world tomorrow. Part of the reason that we are here is to make us fit for that. Till verse 13, "we all come in the unity of the faith." We couldn't have sung a better hymn prior to the message this morning. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect or mature man or woman, unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ." So while we're physically full, we hope that all of us, each and every one of us, is a bit more spiritually mature as a result of having been here now for these 8 days. The purpose then of becoming mature prior to Christ's return, verse 14, "that we no more be children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, that we can be established and solid and strong." Verse 15, "but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." We're to be mature as Christ is. I'd like to focus then on verse 16. "From whom," meaning from Christ, the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies." I'd like to look at that for just a moment. Compacted, fitly joined together. The word joined It's a Greek word that has too many vowels and consonants for me to pronounce. But I'll tell you what it means. It means to bring close jointed or together, to organize compactly, to be fitly framed or joined together. Do we remember and recall that each and every one of us is being drawn together into the body of Christ in a closer and closer relationship in the perfect responsibilities for us? You know, some of us stand up here and we're in the spotlight. We're the ones that you may hear as voices along the way. But we're only one small part of the great body of Christ that is being brought together and joined together. That's why it hurts us so much to see people out on their own. We all need to be a part of the body being brought together so we see where we fit, what we can do to contribute, how we can make things better, how we can help, what we can provide for the body. Remember the presidential saying of a generation ago, think not what you can do, what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Isn't it true that sometimes we in the church think of it almost like a consumer thinks of something? What can I get from the church? What can I get from church? I need, I want, I have to have. When God really and truly is calling us to be providers. Not like an HMO, provide service, by the way. But we're called to be providers, givers. So we should not come to this meeting expecting just to get. But we should come to this meeting expecting to be trained so that we can give. You, when you return 1 week from today to your local congregation, please don't think, well, I'm coming to get anything. I'm coming to be trained so that I can give. If all of us return to our congregation saying, what is my joint? What is my ligamental support system supposed? What am I supposed to provide here? Then we're looking at the local congregations, I think, in a correct manner. And we're there to serve one another. We're not baby boomer consumers. You see, most people out there in the world, a lot of churches have to deal with baby boomer consumers. They look at a church and say, what does it provide for me? What do I get out of that? Does it provide things for my kids? Does it provide this? Does it get that? Are the seats soft? Is the temperature right? Is it close to home? You see, we are here to be trained by God through Jesus Christ to provide service to others. That's the way of give. That's the way of outgoing concern. We're being joined together in the perfect spot so that we can serve. Goes on to say, it uses the word compacted. It says, fitly joined together and compacted. The word compacted means to drive together. You know, when something's pressed, compacted together, Christ describes His church as being pressed together. I mean, haven't you had those kind of experiences in your congregation? Where you feel kind of pressed by other people? You see, some people come to the congregation and they think this is just going to be a smooth breeze. That I should walk through this door and everything is happy and wonderful. You know, sometimes God puts us idiots in the church to squeeze the rest of you. And yet we think, oh no, it shouldn't be that way in God's church. There should never be any offenses or difficulties. No, part of the program of being pushed together as a body, compacted, means there's pressure. There's something that's uncomfortable. If we're going to build muscle, there has to be resistance. And sometimes that happens right within our body. Does it not? You bet it does. It means to unite, to show, to teach, to compact, to gather, to instruct, to knit together. All that is going on, not only here, but every week in our local congregations. And it's difficult for that to happen without a local congregation. We don't get compacted in the same way. We don't have the same sense of unity and togetherness and service of one another if we're not there. So it says that we speak the truth in love, that we grow up into Him, verse 16, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies. Sure, the pastors have their role. The elders have their role. The deacons and deaconesses have their role. But we're all in this together being trained in service of God. And why? According to the effectual working of the measure of every part. The word effectual working is the Greek word energia, from which our word energy comes from. You see, God doesn't care how old you are. Some have said, well, you know, our church is a little older on average age than it was 10 years ago. You know what God says? So what? We are still expected to exert energy in the work of God. Energy in the compacting of the body. We all have something to contribute. Nobody in the church of God retires. We don't come and say, well, I can't do anything anymore. Guess I'll just sit on the sidelines. Can't happen. We need your love. We need your experience. We need your spiritual energy to infuse the rest of us as well. So here at the feast, we've had the body functioning. And functioning very well. And I think I probably could read to you all the department heads and all the hours that they've contributed. Above and beyond. Now, some of us are paid full time to do these kind of things. You see, you get to choose wherever you want to go for the feast, and we don't. Not that I wouldn't have chosen to be with you, of course. But Jamaica was awfully nice last year, I'll tell you that. But rather than read the list of department heads and acknowledge their responsibilities and their contributions, I will simply suffice it to say that there have been hundreds of people who have worked together to make this feast a physical success so that it would not get in the way of what we're really here for, and that's its spiritual success. So individuals who have pushed wheelchairs, who have set up parking signs, who have taped reserve signs onto chairs, who have opened doors for others, who have moved chairs, stacked tables, all the things that need to be done, set up stage, decorate, run wires. Hundreds of hours of man and woman labor has gone into making this feast a physical success so that it could be a spiritual success first and foremost. And for that, we are very thankful. But I will close, brethren, with this thought, and that is, we have a long winter ahead of us. Pause to tell you this story. In October, the Indians asked their chief if the coming winter was going to be cold or not. Not really knowing the answer, the chief replied that the winter will be cold and that the members of the tribe should collect wood to be prepared. Then, being a good leader, he went to a phone booth, called the National Weather Service, and asked, is this winter going to be cold? And the man on the phone responded, yes, this winter is indeed going to be cold. So the chief went back to his people to encourage them to collect even more wood to be prepared. A week later, the chief went to the same phone booth, called the National Weather Service again, and asked, is it going to be a very cold winter? And the man said, yes, in fact, it appears it's even going to be colder than when you called 2 weeks ago. So the chief went back to his people and ordered them, collect even more wood. Be prepared for the... Find every scrap of wood you can to be prepared for this very cold winter. 2 weeks later, he called from the same booth, the same National Weather Service, and said, are you absolutely sure that this winter is going to be very cold? And the man at the Weather Service said, absolutely. And he said, how do you know? He said, those Indians are collecting wood like crazy. So, brethren, it is going to be a cold winter ahead. I hope this feast has been one that you've been able to collect an awful lot of firewood in preparation for the time ahead. The spring holidays seem like an awfully long way off till next year. But you, I believe, have now the kind of spiritual wood that will keep the spiritual fire burning brightly over the course of this winter so that you'll not only have wood for yourself, but plenty to share with others. It's been a pleasure serving you during the feast, and we're looking forward now to one final piece of dessert, the sermon this afternoon.